Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, July 5th, 2012. Well, tonight's guest likes writing mysteries because, as she says on her website, quote, right always wins. No matter how bad the crime is, the bad guy eventually gets caught, at least in my mysteries, end quote. And in Jane Self's first book, Murder in Hum Harbor, the bad guy does get caught, but not without a lot of misunderstanding, humor, romance, and a misguided hero who almost misses out on whodunit. We're going to talk to Jane, who was the winner of the 2012 Canadian Christian Writing Award for Best Mystery, and runner-up for the prestigious Grace Irwin Award, who's on the phone with us from her home office in Orangeville, and we're going to talk to her in a few minutes. But before we begin our conversation with Jane, let's listen to Kyle's song from Trevor Dick's CD, New Beginnings. And now to our conversation with writer Jane Self. Good evening, Jane.
Good evening.
Now, let's go back to the beginning and find out, when did you start writing?
I suppose you have to go back to school days and writing stories and reports and things like that in school and enjoying it then. But I set that part of my life aside, I guess, really once I started having a family. And it was about 13 years ago that I picked it up again and started to seriously work at writing.
Well, when you started back 13 years ago, what were you trying to do? What was the first thing that you sort of had published?
At that point, what I was trying to do is I had an idea in my head for a story that revolved around the millennium. And so I thought, well, if I'm ever going to write, it was 1999, so it was a good time for such a project, and I should just sit down and see if I could do it. So I wrote my first book and took it to my first writer's conference and started plugging and learning about writing at that point. But to get anything published, it was probably about 3 years later. I had a small contract to write a history for the local art group, so that would be the first thing I had published.
So when you finally saw that in print, what was it like for you to see your own words finally in print, published by somebody who looked at it and thought, this is worth being put in print?
It was pretty exciting to see it, you know, there, your words and your thoughts and the way that you'd formed something and put it down and have a cover on it and everything. So mm-hmm. it felt good.
Well, when you decided to get back into writing, what was sort of the impetus to get back into writing after leaving it for so long?
I don't like to describe myself as a creative person, but I guess I am. Throughout my adult life, I tried pottery for a little bit, and then I see somebody quilting and think, oh, I could do that. So I try quilting for a little bit and see somebody painting and think, oh, I could do that. And so writing was just another one of those, seeing somebody write, oh, I think I could do that. And mm-hmm. that's when the passion really sparked, and my interest in dropping writing and going and trying something else has never happened. I just keep working on the writing, and I love it.
Well, who have been your influences over the years as a writer?
Oh, dear. That's a hard question, Robert. Probably one of my biggest influences would have been my high school English teacher, mm-hmm. who is very supportive and encouraging, and she used to tell my parents I spent way too much time writing. I should be doing other work. As I wrote, I gave it to friends to read, and friends were always very encouraging. You know, when your friends read, the feedback that they give you is tempered with love and care for who you are, but it was also just fun to be able to write stories and entertain them.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that we've heard at writers' conferences and that over the years, and I know you and I have gone to Write Canada and at that over the years, is that a writer needs to be a reader. So who have been your favorite authors? Who do you read on a regular basis?
I tend to read female authors. I do read some men on occasion, but I tend to read women because I find they just are generally less graphic. I like more mysteries. I love historic mysteries. My favorite authors would probably be Diane Gabaldon and Dorothy Dunnett. Elizabeth Peters.
Mm-hmm.
I also like Kathy Reich and Patricia Cornwall and Patricia Sprinkle, and those are some.
Mm-hmm. Well, looking at that, you've mentioned a couple of people who are mystery writers themselves, Kathy Reich being one. And then, what led you to choosing mystery as a genre for writing?
Hit and miss. I started with adventure, historic adventure. I tried romance, and the next one down the line was mystery. It was probably the most calculated because I realized that's probably what I like reading, and that's definitely the type of movies, television shows, and stories that I enjoy the most. So it just took a while for me to figure out that if that's really what I like watching and reading, that's probably what I should try to write.
Mm-hmm. Well, on your website, you cite six reasons you write mysteries. What are those six reasons?
You asked me to remember that off the top of my head. I write mysteries because I like the puzzle. Mm-hmm. I write mysteries because I'm drawing a blank here on that one.
Okay. Now, I guess when you're looking at it and you are looking at writing mysteries and that, is there any one particular reason, that one thing that draws you to that whole genre?
I think a number of years ago I read a book by Tammy Hoag, and I can't remember exactly what the book was called, but mysteries have probably been doing this for hundreds and thousands of years, ever since mystery started. But it just really struck me when I read that particular book that she used the mystery as the tool to investigate the character and to put the character into predicaments and circumstances that forced the character to change. And that just absolutely fascinated me. And I think since then, that's really what I've tried to focus on with writing mysteries, is not mm-hmm. just the puzzle, but how it impacts the people in the mystery. What it causes them to think, how they respond, how they change as a result of the mystery. Cozy mysteries, series characters, I know they tend to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
They're not supposed to change significantly because the reader likes that character and they want to keep coming back to that character. But I really like the idea of a character that changes.
Well, what I think we need to do is on that note, take a quick break, and then come back and talk a little bit more about the actual mystery and how you do your how you write your mysteries. So we're going to take a quick break and be right back with our guest, Jane Self. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Aaron's Song from Fifth String Boulevard by Trevor Dick. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Jane Self. Jane, just before we went to break, you were talking about that one of the things that you like about mysteries is being able to see a character change through the solving of the mystery. How did that happen for you as you were writing Murder in Hum Harbor?
When I was writing Murder in Hum Harbor, I was very deliberate about how I crafted my character. I looked at things that I'd written in the past and saw the commonalities. So I tended to always have a medical element in the story. I used to be a nurse, and so I've always kind of, whether by intent or not, had some sort of medical element in it. I looked at where I like to be, and we have a cottage down in Nova Scotia, and Nova Scotia is very close to my heart. So I deliberately set out to create a character in Nova Scotia who had some medical exposure, and it's been 30 years, I think, since I've been nursing. So my medical knowledge is not current at all. So I thought if I made my character a medical receptionist, I could include some medical information but not have to turn it into a medical procedural kind of thing.
Right. So not a sort of a diagnosis murder type of thing.
Right.
Yeah. Now, looking at that, where did the whole idea for Murder in Hum Harbor come from?
The title or the story idea?
The story idea.
Well, I took my medical receptionist in a small town in Nova Scotia, and I thought, who would be the most likely person to kill? And who would be the one that she would be most impacted by and most motivated to help solve the mystery? And that drove me to the local doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So I bumped him off.
So, well, what are the main challenges that somebody who's writing mystery faces as they're trying to plot out and develop the whole story?
I think you have to take a multiple-pronged approach. The two, I think, most significant decisions is who is going to be your crime solver and who is going to be the person you kill. Your crime solver needs to have a realistic motivation for solving the crime. So the person who dies has to be significant enough to them that they want to become involved. So that when you start a mystery, you either have to, I think, really focus on who is going to be your crime solver, what kind of person are they, what are their interests, and then craft your murder victim around that, or focus on your murder victim, who are they, and who is the person that's most likely going to want to solve their murder.
Mm-hmm. And how do you keep, how do you take all of that and keep the readers guessing, but yet you don't frustrate them with a lot of red herrings along the way? You know, and in this, in Murder in Hum Harbor, you've got a number of different, you know, every time the solver thinks that she solved the crime, all of a sudden she realizes she hasn't through a variety of other circumstances. How do you keep people interested and keep that suspense going? Well, not having them going, either I figured it out already, or you know, they get to the end and all of a sudden it's like the murder of Roger Ackroyd by Agatha Christie, and you're going, that's not fair.
With Murder in Hum Harbor, after I decided who was going to die, I gave myself 5 suspects, created 5 characters that I hoped I could give reasonable motivation to for wanting to kill them, and then thread those people through the heroine Galen's everyday life so that they would be familiar people to her, that she would have reason to interact with them. And then the fun is giving her reasons to suspect them and to make her imagination run away with her so that she gets carried away.
Well, one of the things that's happened over the years is there's always been this discussion in the church about Christians arguing over different genres, you know, whether they should be reading fiction or science fiction or even mystery. How do you respond to people who think that Christians shouldn't either read mystery novels or even be involved in writing them?
It's funny. That's I suppose an issue that I've grappled with a bit myself. Are, as a Christian writer, should I even be writing fiction? Is it significant enough? Is not nonfiction more impactful? Isn't it deeper? Isn't it more profound? Isn't it more godlike? And I go back to, really, Jesus told stories all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was the method that he used, the method of choice, to teach and to get people to think about what he was trying to tell them. And so I think in this day and age, fiction has just a bigger part, even more so as we've moved into the postmodern age where story is everything. And to be able to weave bits of the gospel through story in a fashion that people would read it and perhaps not even realize that they're being touched by some of the aspects of the Christian message, I think is really important.
So what's been the reaction to Murder in Hum Harbor, as you've both woven a mystery, but you've woven in, you know, sort of the ultimate story of God's grace, and that whole aspect? What have people been saying about the book as they've been reading it?
The response has been very positive. People have enjoyed the story. People have said, you know, they couldn't figure out who did it. There has been no real... Well, I had one feedback from one critiquer who felt that Galen was very narrow-minded and that her Christian views were very narrow, and she didn't find that an appealing aspect of the character. And I found that interesting because that was a very intentional aspect of Galen's character.
Mm-hmm.
That was the area I wanted her to grow in, from starting out as a young person in a small town who had no or very little exposure to the bigger world and wider thoughts, and really didn't care to expand herself, to be forced into a situation that caused her to have to look at the people around her in a different way, have to reevaluate her values and the way she judged people and looked at them, and to open her eyes to that. And I think the fact that this one critiquer saw the need for Galen to open her eyes, I was really happy with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I think we need to do is take one final break, and when we do, we'll finish our conversation with writer Jane Self. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Thank you. Well, welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Yahweh, the title track from Trevor Dick's CD, Yahweh. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Jane Self. Jane, it's been a couple of weeks now. Have you recovered from the shock of winning both the 2012 Canadian Christian Writing Award for Best Mystery and being chosen as a runner-up for the Grace Irwin Award?
I don't know if I'll ever recover from the shock of those. That was a wonderful experience.
What was going through your mind when they announced your name for the Mystery Award?
Surprise. I did not expect that at all. As we talked earlier about the importance of depth in writing, the other book, the other that was shortlisted for the Mystery Award, I felt was a much... deeper isn't perhaps the right word, but it was a more serious book than Murder in Hum Harbor. And so I really had absolutely no anticipation that Hum Harbor would win.
Mm-hmm. And this is the first year that I can remember that they actually did runners-up for the Grace Irwin Award. Again, what was going through your mind is they mentioned your name and as well as Greg Paul's Close Enough to Hear God Breathe.
I was so awed just to see my book cover up there as one of the five finalists that I think I was in a little bit of shock, really, to just kind of wander up to the stage and think, what am I doing here? This is unbelievable.
Now, I think people have to understand the depth of what the Grace Irwin Award means. What is the Grace Irwin Award?
The Grace Irwin Award is the largest award to Christian literature in Canada. It's a $5,000 award awarded to the book that is considered to be the best work of Christian fiction or nonfiction that was published mm-hmm. in the previous year.
And that, to give people a bit of an idea, that all of the books that achieved finalist status across the board were part of that whole process. So there were like 53 books that they looked at. Was it 53?
I believe so.
Yeah, 53 books that they looked at as potential winners for the Grace Irwin Award. You and Greg Paul were chosen as the runners up, and then Deb Elkink was chosen as the final award winner. So this is something that you know, as you said, you were chosen of the five, one of the five finalists, and then chosen as runner up. So it's actually a fairly prestigious honor to get to that point. What does that mean to you in terms of looking at it in that perspective?
I've been pondering that. What does that mean? When I try to think of the last time I actually won an award of any kind, I think it might have been when I was in high school and entered a class in a music festival. So it's hard for me to put into perspective what it means. I have wondered over the years of writing, because it's taken 13 years, well, it took 12 years to get a book published, what God is doing with me in this process. What is the point? Is the point of me writing more a personal growth? You know, what is it that God has in mind? And there have been, I can't even count the number of times I've thought, well, maybe I should just set this aside and really find out what God wants me to do. This obviously isn't it, because it's not succeeding in the way that we tend to measure success, by publishing or by making money. And being a finalist for this award has really been an encouragement and a verification for me that God wants me to continue, to not give up, that yep. this is what he wants me to do.
And you've continued that on. You've just released the second mystery, Death of a Highland Heavyweight. Tell us just quickly, I've just got about a minute here, what's that one about?
It's Galen again and Dr. Jeff Grant, and the local Highland heavyweight champion for the ancient Scottish games,
mm-hmm.
guy that pitches cabers and hammers and things like that, he is murdered. And so who did it?
We have to find out. What's your next project?
I'm not sure.
Yes.
I have several sort of half-done things in the fire, so I think I will probably be returning to my Dean Constable mysteries, which predate Galen and Hum mm-hmm. Harbor.
And where can people get more information about you and the work that you've done?
JaneSelf.com.
And that's J-A-Y-N-E.
Yes.
S-E-L-F. Well, Jane, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you, Robert.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thanking my guest, Jane Self. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selaw Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.